This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. And a taste of honey's worse than none
at all. Oh, girl, in that case, I don't want. Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Travis Ford is going to join us sometime in the 11 o'clock hour. Dr. Rick is also going to join us sometime in the 11 o'clock hour. Tomorrow, big program lined up. Dr. Patrick Risch on the economics of sports. And, you know, there's a lot of women that are upset that the Women's World Cup team gets a fraction of the money that the Men's World Cup team gets. But the Men's World Cup did generate $6 billion. So that's part of it. We'll get into that with Dr. Risch. Katie Shields, who's done a terrific job at St. Louis University, is also going to join us for a few minutes. And Benjamin Hockman is going to be with us also on tomorrow's program. You know, guys, I've spent much of the summer so far at Midwest Prospect League games, watching young Dom anywhere from Springfield to Cape Girardeau to Quincy. Yeah, really eating some great food in those towns. But anyway, the other night, as a promotion, they had a wrestling match. They actually had the ropes and the whole thing set up, kind of like down the third baseline.
Nothing says baseball like instead of getting wrestling match.
And so after the game, they had like four matches where people actually stuck around to watch. And this is not, you know, a 6'8" Hulk Hogan with, you know, glistening muscles and... You know, this is not that at all. So anyway, in the middle of the game, to make sure that people stay, they bring out the two girl wrestlers, the two female wrestlers. And the one female wrestler, who was kind of a physically kind of an attractive lady, but was the bad one, the mean one, she alienates the whole freaking audience by saying, because the home team was losing in Springfield that day, because I'll tell you one thing, I'm not like this loser baseball team. And the guys are out on the field warming up, picking up ground balls in the fifth inning. Now, they're trailing by six. And I'll tell you what, I'll put on a better show than these losers. And then some of these Springfield fans are really passionate and supportive of their team. And this one woman who's like 65 and she's got a white ponytail goes after this kind of well-built, you know, 35-year-old wrestler. And security had to come between them. It was just classic.
Now, you kind of bring up, I think, what could add maybe an additional experience for the fans is you have participants from the fans. Hey, anybody want to, you know, come wrestle me? Obviously, sign a waiver first.
Yeah, the waiver would be key. Because, you know, as fake as it may be, you take some bad spills in those things. Gosh. I mean, I told Monique this while we were watching this the other night. I said that I told her the story about Hulk Hogan. Have I ever told you the Hulk Hogan story? He came to the press box one day, and he was with me in studio for 2 hours. And then we were going to go do TV after that. And he goes, hey, brother, can you pick me up some Red Bulls on the way down? I said, yeah, sure. One or two? He goes, no, six. And then he drank three right before we did the television interview. And he was fabulous. He couldn't be nicer than anything. Couldn't be, you know, more friendly and everything. But he is the most unhealthy human being on the face of the earth. If you factor in the thousands and thousands of hour under a suntanning bed.
What do you mean? That's a natural thing.
Yeah. That's not a natural tan. And then, you know, all the Red Bull, all the steroids.
Whoa.
All the traveling.
Allegedly.
I'll say performance-enhancing drugs. If that makes it even nicer. I don't know. But there could not be a less healthy human being. Do you believe? And just think of all the collisions the guy took, all the smashing and all that to his back and shoulders and knees.
I guess as far as being a notable quote-unquote athlete, I would say so. But there, we got a lot of unhealthy people here in the U.S. of A., so I put him up there for sure. The depressing Hulk Hogan story is how he missed out on the George Foreman grill because he missed the call. Did you hear about that one?
Is that right? That's official? That
yes.
actually happened?
He
they were going to call him first?
We're going to give Hulk Hogan the option of the grill or the blender. Hulk Hogan was picking up his son from middle school or high school, so missed the call. They ended up calling George Foreman. Foreman took the grill and obviously made like $100 million. And I don't know if the Hulk Hogan blender was as big of a seller, but that's tough.
I'm typing this in right now.
Yep, Claiborne's on.
Mike is ready. All right, boy, we're breaking down these serious sports topics here about how much money George Foreman has made off the grill, and it's $137.5 million. All right, Mr. Claiborne joins us now. Do you have any ideas like that? All you need is one great idea, Mike.
No, I'm an idea short. Just one short. That's all I am, man. I'm getting close, though.
You know, the thing about Foreman, too, is he's one of the few guys. I always say that you don't see boxers, in their 60s with a white picket fence and razor sharp with a bunch of kids. He's actually one of those guys, and it's because he took off about 15 years in the middle of his career, I think.
Yeah, I think that had a lot to do with it. And, you know, seldom did guys get close enough to hit George in the head. I mean, you got to take that into account. He was such a strong, powerful boxer that, you know, there's some guys you would have taken a couple of jabs just to get one in. But, you know, George, he had a brick in both hands.
What about?
So he didn't take the punishment as much as some of those other guys did.
It never happened because they weren't in their primes at the same time. But for our younger audience, Foreman was not only, you know, destroying people in the ring, but he was mean and nasty, not like he is in his real life right now. But you tell me, Foreman in his prime against Mike Tyson in his prime.
They would have carried Mike Tyson out. They would have carried him out of there. I mean, because, first of all, he was a big, big man for a heavyweight. And I just thought he was just a powerful guy. You know, Tyson was a smaller guy, compact. But I got to tell you, I don't know if I would have put Mike Tyson in my top 10 greatest heavyweights.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just not sure.
I can still remember when Jimmy Young beat George Foreman. And I think those are the times when there was actually on national TV and the crowd was yelling, Jimmy Young. And then Foreman found God right afterwards and then retired, right?
Yeah, he did. He walked away. And, you know, there's a guy that probably in a different era would have been a greater heavyweight than Jimmy Young.
Yeah.
I mean, but, yeah, George, he was different, man. He was different for a lot of reasons. But he walked away from it, found God, and went out and had a bunch of kids and named them all George so he wouldn't forget their first name.
Would Ken Norton be in your top 10? I mean, many believe he beat Ali twice.
Yeah, he would be in there. You know, and Norton was a smaller heavyweight, but he was so strong and, you know, he had that awkward defense, but, you know, he got hit, man. You were hurt. I mean, he broke Ali's jaw.
Larry Holmes has got to be in it.
Yeah, one of the best jabs I've ever seen for a heavyweight.
How about Ernie Shavers?
The Acorn would be another guy that would be in that because Ernie Shavers could hit. I mean, he was a powerful fighter, but he could really hit.
All right, bunch of things to discuss. First of all, it's really wild, isn't it, Mike, that the best two teams in the land probably are playing in the same building with the Clippers and Lakers.
It's going to be fun. You know, I know they had the big earthquake on Friday. It wasn't because the earth moved. It was because of the deal that was made to get Kawhi Leonard there. I really think that's what shook up the Southern California. But can you imagine every night for 81 nights is going to be a great game or a great team that could possibly be playing out of the Staples Center? I mean, the tickets there are going to be insane to be able to get your hands on. And that's a beautiful building to watch a game from. So it's going to be interesting. But, yeah, it's going to be – I think it's one of the great things that's happened in the league. But, you know, also, when you think about the Western Conference, there's a good team or two good teams that's going to win 50 games that may not make it, get in the playoffs. And the East is now wide open again. And what happens if Westbrook goes to Miami?
Yeah.
What happens to that organization? Now, I don't know if they got enough inside, but, and, you know, I don't know who can control Jimmy Butler, but, man, it's a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah, that's an interesting dynamic with Butler and Westbrook if it happens. I want to ask you this. What about which big two would you rather have, the Clippers or the Lakers?
I'd probably take the Clippers.
Yeah.
You know, they're more athletic. They can guard. Both of them can guard. You know, Anthony Davis is a dynamic player, man. He can't stay healthy. He's always got some sort of injury, and LeBron is as unique of a player as we'll ever see. But, you know, I think age will eventually catch up to him. But I like what the Clippers are putting on the floor, along with the sandpaper that they add with Patrick Beverley, who nobody likes to play against. I just think they're going to be a really game team. You got Lou Williams, who's the best sixth man in the game. They got a lot of talent, man, and I think Glenn Rivers is the right coach for a team like that, because he got to stroke a few people along the way, and I think he can get it done.
Yeah, that's where I think the Clippers are better, that they have the coach in Rivers and the front office in Jerry West. That's an unbelievable combo right there.
No, you're right about that.
All right, couple of baseball thoughts. Do you think that they'll start the second half and, hey, let's go back to the guys we originally thought were going to be okay? Or do you think, wait a minute, 88 games is not a small sample size. We got to play the guys who hit. So, Jose and Gyro, you're staying out there, and then we'll mix things up with the rest of the group.
That would be the general conventional wisdom. I think because there's so much money that's not playing, you've got to justify that. And I think you probably say we got to give them a chance. Well, you know, 80-plus games is a pretty big chance to start with, and I don't know if a few days off in the middle of the summer is going to make that much of a difference on what you saw at the beginning of the year. Some guys get better. Some guys get worse. I think that's something you have to ask yourself the question about, along with this. You got about 2.5 weeks to figure this out before you have to make a decision on whether you're a buyer or a seller. You felt like at the beginning of the year and in the offseason you were going to be a contender. What if you're not? What if you have to sell? And I'm not sure what you can sell because of the contracts that you may be bound to. So I think it's going to be a very interesting 2.5 weeks of Cardinal baseball to figure out who we are and where we're going.
How much do you like Madison Bumgarner if he's actually okay after that thing that happened Sunday?
I don't know if he was okay before he got hit. He doesn't have the velocity that he once did. He hasn't been durable. I mean, I think we've all seen that. And I know he's got the tough guy moniker where, you know, you don't want to mess with him because he's country strong and all that stuff. And I don't know if that really makes as much of a difference. I think that's great for the fans. But I don't think guys who have a bat in their hand and are as big as Bumgarner fear him like they once did. So I'm not sure if that's the fit, depending on what you want to have to give up. Now, remember, the Giants don't have much in their organization, period. So you may not have to move as much as you were for a team that's really trying to stockpile for the future. So I guess it depends on the price or what you could get him for. And I think the Giants are in the catbird seat because everybody knows they need real talent, and maybe a lot of teams have better talent than the Cardinals do in their organization.
I hear people or read people like Derek Gould suggesting you go out and get a starter. But I actually am kind of bullish, like, moving forward. I don't know if it's going to be dominating, but Jack Flaherty, he's fine. Dakota Hudson's fine. Miles is getting it together. Wainwright's been better than average. And if Waka doesn't work out, you got Ponce. What scares me, Mike, is Cardinals have 15 games with four or fewer hits this season. It's the offense.
Yeah. Well, I agree. And I think that's one of the reasons why the pitching has been a little suspect, because – you know, guys on this staff have to go out feeling like, I better throw a one-hitter if I want to win. Jack Flaherty threw a two-hitter and lost. So the offense has been troublesome, to say the least. And it's not just one guy. I mean, you know, you look up and down the order, I don't know if there's any guy in that order that you say, I'm really happy with his performance in the first portion of the season. I think everybody in that lineup is probably underperformed compared to what the expectations you need to have in order to be a postseason contender.
Do you look at Tommy Edman as a plus offensive everyday player eventually?
Yeah, I do. I like what he's done. I thought he was a guy that should have made a team out of spring training. I thought he had a good enough spring. But, you know, I think you were bound to some people that you had committed to contractually and some people with more experience. But, you know, what doesn't Tommy Edman do? Plus, he plays a mean defense at any position you plug him in at. So I think you got to give him a legitimate look. And I know it's a very short sample size, but what I see fundamentally tells me that he can be better and he can stay consistent. So I'm not really overly worried about him. I think he's at a point now where he deserves a chance to see if he can succeed or fail in the major league level.
All right, you're the hitting coach for the manager of the Cardinals. How do you handle Matt Carpenter moving forward?
Man, that's the $64,000 question, because I think if you weren't committed contractually to Matt Carpenter as long as you are, and for the money that you're paying him, it probably would be an easier transition. And I think you and I have talked about this before. You know, Cardinals waited a whole half a season for him to have one good month, much like last year. But so far this year, it hasn't happened. So are you going to give it another month at the expense of a chance to be able to compete if he doesn't succeed? I think it's the toughest decision they have to make because of the contract and because of what you hope for. And I think it's going to be tough.
You're the hitting coach and the manager. How do you handle Harrison Bader moving forward?
Man, I don't know. That's probably even a bigger head scratcher, because he's got to start over again. You know, I think the question was always, could he hit anyway? And I think the answer has been, we don't know. You know, granted, he's playing a really good defense. I mean, that's something that hasn't slipped on his part. But you can't have that many holes at the bottom of your lineup in order to be able to compete. So I'm not sure what the next step is. And it's not like there's somebody in the minors knocking the door down to take his job. It'd be different if Lane Thomas or Rosarena was hot all year and it was his time. They've had their ups and downs also. So it's not like there's pressure from within the organization to replace Bader. So I'm just not sure. You hope that maybe this time off and maybe him just getting figured out would be a difference maker. But he's still got a ways to go.
Who scares you the most in our division right now, Brewers or Cubs or none of the above?
Boy, the Cubs are playing with more desperation, you know, started with the manager and the expectations. You know, Theo Epstein's let it be known that, you know, he's not going to have a lot of patience for the current pattern that the Cubs are going. The Brewers, they make me scratch my head, because you can see that they're one legitimate pitcher away from being really, really good, and they haven't been able to push the button on that. Now, they thought Gio Gonzalez was the answer. You know, he had a dead arm, and they think he's going to be available to him in the second portion of the season. It's Gio Gonzalez 2019. This isn't Gio Gonzalez in 2012 or 13 or 14 where he was really good. This is a different guy. So I think if there's a team that's desperate to go out and find a bona fide starter, it's got to be Milwaukee. And if they do it, they've got all the other ingredients to be a competitive team in postseason.
All right, before we let you go, we're going to celebrate the birthday of the great Mike Shannon later in the week. He's been a real good friend of yours, and it's going to be quite a celebration, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to anybody who can turn 80, including myself. So it's one of those things that for all he's meant to his friends and family and people around him, I'm looking forward to, you know, just hanging out and being part of it. And, you know, he's been such an institution to so many, including Cardinal fans, that I'm just glad we're having 80, and I can't wait for 81, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mike, good stuff. Have a great off couple of days. We'll talk to you soon, and we'll see you at the ballpark.
You got it, Frank. Good talking to you.
All right, the great Mike Claiborne joining us. Maryville University students receive an extraordinary level of academic, personal, and career support, beginning with their first steps in transition from high school to college. Go to maryville.edu for more information about that terrific university. And I do want to tell you about Hollywood Casino. They're our title sponsor. If you are looking for a place to watch some sporting events, like the Cardinals this weekend, 99 Hops House, one of the best sports bars in St. Louis. And when you go out there, what you ought to do is pull over to the side and take a look at that incredible hockey facility that's being built. It's one of the best in the country. 4 sheets of ice named after a Blues legend, each one of them. I think it's Federko. It's Plager, it's McInnes, and Hall. And the main arena where they're going to seat about 3,000 people is just sensational. Hollywood Casino stepped up when the Blues needed it. Go on by and have a drink and do a little gambling and have some fun out there at Hollywood Casino. We'll take a short time out. When we come back, Travis Ford.